In the middle of the summer holidays, 28th December 1989, Newcastle was shaken by a small but shallow earthquake.
The quake struck at 10:27 in the morning. In the centre of Newcastle, people's first reaction was to rush out of buildings which had swayed under the shockwave. Crowds milled in the streets, each person asking the same question: what happened? The city was brought to a standstill for a moment before the hushed silence was broken by the wail of sirens.
13 people died and more than 160 were injured. Some 50,000 buildings, including 40,000 homes, suffered damage and 300 were demolished. The fabric of the city, and particularly its Victorian-era centre, was changed in a matter of seconds. The street in front of the Porter home was filled with ambulances and rescue vehicles, pulling people from the collapsed Newcastle Workers Club across the road, where 9 people died. The Porter sisters too were in trouble. They had lived in their family home, built by their father in 1909, all their lives, and it lay in ruins, the outer brick walls peeled off and the veranda hanging perilously loose over the footpath. Don Barnett, an architect from the next door Hunter Water Board, and his wife Leonie found the sisters and their dog waiting for help. Don's sons, remember.
Obviously, two elderly ladies that were in need of some sort of care. The house was damaged, so I think Dad just took up the, a caring role. But the house was unlivable, so Dad offered his own place for the sisters to reside at while repairs were underway.
During the 2 days staying out with her parents, they met the neighbours, and the neighbours all chipped in and bought them furniture.
A house for rent was found in Maryville, and a relative returned to the house a few days later to box up small possessions.
What a sight! The awning hanging off the front of their home like a rusty, droopy eye. Inside, just darkly unbelievable, I was about two-thirds up the staircase when I saw the light. The gaping crack in the wall. The dust of years of industry and city was amazing. It was like some grey film world.
The two sisters feared the earthquake meant the end of their home. In a letter they wrote outlining why the house should be restored, not demolished, Hazel stressed the special bits of the house, especially the stenciled ceilings.
My sister and I were born there, so there is a lot of sentiment attached to our home. When we were young, we were told if the house was destroyed, we would have to live in a tent or shed.
With help from their new friends, the Barnetts, an insurance payout, a mortgage loan, and a donation from the Lord Mayor's Earthquake Fund, and their own capital, their sisters were able to rebuild. 1 year later.
I don't know if you're aware that the day that they moved back in after the earthquake, as Dad put the key in the door and opened it, it was the exact time, exactly a year after the earthquake.
Perhaps because of this experience, Hazel seemed to understand that her modest family home and the personal history it contained was unique and of interest to others. She offered to leave the house and its contents to the National Trust, and 10 years after the earthquake, the National Trust New South Wales saw the need to preserve diverse examples of 20th century heritage and accepted Hazel's generous offer.